Welcome to the Cerebral Edge with strength and conditioning specialist Coach Chris. Join us for the next 30 minutes as Coach Chris shares ways to improve your health in all areas of your life. Along with his special guests, he strives to give you that cerebral edge to help make you 1% better every day. Now, here's Coach Chris.
This is Power Talk 1040. Welcome, Colorado Springs. It's Coach Chris. I'm just going to take a half hour here and hopefully give you the edge you need to get you 1% better. Now, I like to do that with a little help from my friends, and today I have Dr. Grove Higgins back on. Welcome back, Doc.
Thanks for having me back. I've been looking forward to this all week.
Oh, man, especially that bacon we had earlier, right?
Oh, my gosh, it was like a steak.
Can't go wrong with that.
Amen.
So Doc was on last time. We got into a little bit of talk about metabolic conditions and things like that. But today what we're going to be talking about is the myths of performance and pain. And again, this is going to be another two-part podcast. So we're going to go talk about myths of performance and pain, and then we're going to want you to hold on for the next week, because we're going to be doing some shaking things up again for the medical community once again. So myths and performance and pain. Go ahead, Doc. Tell us what you got.
First of all, man, what are you doing? You're getting bigger.
Right? I think my head's just getting smaller.
Head's getting smaller?
Yeah.
All right. I'd swear you're getting larger through the chest and such like that. So that's a good thing. No, your training's paying off, so keep that up.
Yeah, thank you.
So obviously you don't buy into a lot of myths about training.
Oh, man. I used to.
Yeah. I think most of us do, right? Until we wake up to it, and then we were like, I'm never going back to that, right?
Right. And it's amazing how much more effort with less time it actually takes.
Right. Yeah. No, efficiency. Working out should be fun. That should be one of the number one things, right?
Right.
It should be fun, and you should be able to see results, right? Mm-hmm. Both on a scale, if that's what you're going for, in your size and your strength, there should be some objective measurement of progress. But it should be fun, and efficient training is fun. It minimizes the damage and maximizes the effects of your training, and that's when you know you're doing it right. And unfortunately, most of the myths that are out there for training, both for just health and fitness type stuff, but also for performance, are what hold people back and make them quit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's one of the Stan Efferding had a great saying. He said, the best exercise is the one you'll do,
right?
And that's the one that's fun, right?
Yep.
If it's fun, you'll do it. if you don't like it, you probably won't do it most of the time.
And at the heart of things, we're all children. We like to have fun, and it pays off when we're having fun. And then the adult in us wants to see results. Mm-hmm. And so if we're having fun and you're seeing results, you keep coming back, and it becomes a lifelong thing. And that's how fitness really should be. It should be a lifelong endeavor.
Yeah. And if you're having less pain, you're more likely to continue too, right?
Darn
which
right.
brings us to our first myth, no pain, no gain.
Oh, it's the suckiest principle on the list here, you know? Yeah. The whole no pain, no gain thing, if you're an athlete, you're going to push yourself to certain extents where you are going to feel the burn, right? You're going to feel the effort through muscles and such like that. But so many of us don't know where that line is, and especially if you're not an athlete, you don't know where that is. If you're an athlete, the last thing you want to do is do something today that's going to hold you back from training tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so you're very careful about that, and you know what is good pain, right? So that burn in the muscle and such like that. But you avoid the pain that unfortunately most of us have bought into. And especially around the whole HIIT revolution, we've bought into that, because if you're pushing your body really hard, you're going into that muscle burn, yeah? Mm-hmm. But that's where you should be stopping, and most of us are going well beyond that. And so then you're hurting for days afterwards, and you're like, well, that must have been progress.
Right.
Right? But I can't walk up the stairs.
But I can't
not
move.
Like a normal human being, at least.
I can't bend over and tie my shoes.
And that just means that you've moved backwards. So you've given yourself a good stimulus to get some progress and to get some effect from your training, but you've also done a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. And so, which is going to win out in the end? And you're just slowing yourself down. If people knew where that was, or they had worked with a coach that allowed them to know where their limits were and to get the best effect out of their training. They wouldn't be sore. They'd be able to train every day of their lives, and it would feel good.
Oh, absolutely. It's a book by Mike Menzer had a great saying about that. It's like watering the garden, right? It can only take so much water. So the weight room is your water, right?
Right.
You have to allow yourself to give time to grow before you water it again, or else you keep getting that breakdown and you don't get that growth.
Yep. Yep.
And that's what I've been kind of experiencing. That's what you're saying. You know, I've seen you growing. I'm putting in less time, but more effort for less time.
Right. So 15 minutes gets you a huge amount of effect where you you may have spent 2 hours in the gym before.
I did.
Right.
I used to, because I did competitive powerlifting for a long time, right? And I fell in that same line of no pain, no gain. So I was spending, 3 hours in the gym, easy, right, trying to prepare for competition. And I remember waking up in the morning going, oh, my God, my back is so stiff. I can't even move. And it was primarily my right side. And I knew that should have been a red flag to be like, maybe I should do something about this, balance out a little bit. But then you go to the gym and everybody's like, yeah, I did deads yesterday. My back's just really stiff. So I'm just thinking, okay, well, maybe that's just normal, right?
Yeah.
Until all of a sudden, you do that last pull and something breaks. And then I can't move off the couch for a week. And I was like, okay, well, maybe there's something different here, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that stiffness of no pain, no gain was not.
And then you got to see a guy like me to help back you out of the damage that you've done and stuff like that.
I got to call Doc Grove and be like, I'm in pain. He's like, what'd you do? Something stupid.
Yeah. And then as we get older, the excuse that people buy into from that is I'm just getting older.
Yep.
And that's a terrible myth as well. The pain, age does not equal pain ever. In fact, if you're doing it right, you're being smarter in the gym and you're walking away with less pain and you're maintaining great muscle, keeping your weight down and everything like that. A good friend of mine and a sports science guru, Ellington Darden, he's in his 70s now. And he says, when asked, he's like, yeah, I tell my 18-year-old self to exercise like he's 72. So when he's 72, he can work out like he's 18.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Say that one more time.
Yeah. So when asked, he said, I'd tell my 18-year-old self, start exercising like you're 72. So when you're 72, you can exercise like you're 18.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting concept to put behind that. So people will often come to me and say, well, deadlifts are bad, right? They're bad for my back. Right. So the 72-year-old guy would say, oh, that's terrible for you. And it's like, and my response is always is like, well, is it the exercise that's bad or is it you haven't built the capacity to do the exercise?
Yeah. Right? So what you have to realize is exercise is planned and purposely impose damage and stress on the system, right? To a certain level, right? You gotta shake it up a little bit. You gotta damage the system a little bit so it gets stronger to a certain extent, right? That's what we're doing. We're putting a stimulus in, and it disrupts things. And so any exercise can be a bad exercise if you're doing it at too high a level with the wrong form. Your tissues aren't prepared for it. You're not fueled well or hydrated well. Every exercise potentially is bad and can hurt you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can use a barbell to rehab somebody like you and train somebody like you and an 80-year-old old lady too.
Yeah.
But I got to apply it right, and if I apply it right, then no exercise is bad for you, and no routine is going to hurt you. But it has to be applied right.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's sometimes I'll play with the wording for exercise, so that way it doesn't scare them right away.
Right.
Because if I have a kettlebell down there, I'm like, we're going to do deadlifts. They'll go, ah! So I'll go, we'll do pickups.
Right.
And they're like, oh, no big deal.
Right.
I pick up things all the time. Right. It's like, that's exactly what a deadlift is. It's just getting yourself in the right position to pick something
up. That's right. The whole part to exercise outside of running and cycling and things like that is Mongo pick heavy thing up, Mongo put heavy thing down. And that is really the basis of all weight training that's out there. It's just how you're doing it to get the result that you want that's the art.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the opposite side of that, we have this interesting concept of 10,000 steps per day, right?
Yeah.
As long as I get my 10,000 steps per day, I don't have to do anything else.
Right, right. And it's that's actually a great place to start, you know. And the 10,000 steps is great. If every American did 10,000 steps, they wouldn't have the problems that we're going to talk about the next episode that we get together on. Or at least it would really reduce it, right? There would be so many more healthy Americans and such. But that's not where it stops. That's where it really starts. Mm-hmm. And so if you're doing 10,000 steps a day, I totally applaud you, and I encourage you to get 12,000 to 20,000 if you can in there. There's other things you can do that are more fun, right?
Yeah.
But it's a low level thing, and walking is one of those things that everybody needs to do. And if you want to be walking when you're 80, 90, 100 years old, you better be walking today. And so it's probably one of the most important things you can be doing. But 10,000 steps, it was found on research that people that walked a certain amount had a certain amount of health. And so they generalized 10,000 steps was the key. And again, I think that that's a good place to start, but you got to go beyond that.
Yeah. I mean, you have to stress muscle tissue for it to stay healthy, right? For things like—
Most definitely.
For things like sarcopenia, right? So muscle wasting basically is the disease, you know, that we're seeing a lot more in 50s, 60s, right?
Oh, easy.
All of a sudden people are losing muscle tissue and they find it hard to pick up a coffee cup.
Right.
And I was talking to one guy that works here, and he was saying his uncle was trying to pick up softball again and hasn't worked his shoulders at all. He said, looks like he's got, you know, two slumped shoulders. And he said he couldn't hardly even throw a softball at that point. So it's like 10,000 steps is a great place to start, but you have to have that mechanical stress, right?
Most definitely. And you've got a whole body that you have to be stressing at one level or another.
Mm-hmm. Because it's that old saying, if you don't use it, you lose it, right?
Amen.
Cool. So then we have weight loss is essentially coming down to burning calories than you consume, right?
There's another one. The old equation, calories in, calories out. And what's very frustrating with that, you can go to just about any gym in America and see a bunch of, forgive me if you're one of these, and it's not, no offense here, but if you're, you know, a female over 40 and you're trying to lose weight, there's a ton of you on treadmills with your Diet Coke in one hand and, and you're on the treadmill just sweating away and losing a pound, right? And we've learned so much over the years, and we've known this actually for a long time. It's not about the number of calories in, calories out. That's part of the equation, but it's your hormones. If your hormones are working well, then you can stimulate the system with a little bit of exercise and get strong and big, like Chris over here, right? Coach over here.
Right.
And if you want to lose weight, you got to have your hormones right. So that way, when you put the right stimulus in from an exercise standpoint and just working everyday life activities, you're burning fat instead of, you know, the stuff that you just put into your mouth. And then what you put into your mouth is really important because it's part of that stimulus too. Food is a stimulus. Food goes in and tells your body something, and hormones light up to help address that. And exercise is a stimulus. It goes into your body, lights up hormones, and then your body responds the way that you want. So if your testosterone's good and your thyroid's good and we're stimulating those at just right, we can get any result that you want at any age, at any age. So young guys up to 26, that's your prime time for building the most muscle, the fastest. It's exciting because you can build it super fast. So do it right there and then, and treat yourself right on the food side and on the exercise side. You'll get really strong. And then at 50, 60, 70 years old, same thing. We can wake a lot of those systems up if you've been lazy and get you back to losing your weight, getting your strength back up and feeling like a real man or a really vital lady, if that's which way you're going, right?
Absolutely, that's what I work with a lot at the clinic. Is that they'll come in and they'll just kind of have this defeated mentality. It's like, I'm just getting older, so that must be it, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you put them through a little bit of metabolic exercise, and they're like, "Wow, I feel a lot better. I was able to play with my kids all day, and I wasn't tired."
Yeah. Right?
Or, for instance, Dave over here was able to carry a couple big toolboxes up a hill and go, man, before I would have to stop like two or three times before I did that.
Right.
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 So all of a sudden you get those systems working right, And man, you can come back more than you think.
Yeah. And two ways that you can tell if your hormones aren't working right and that it's a problem is two things. You're not getting results from your exercise and your dieting and you're just not losing weight or whatever goal you're trying to go for. Mm-hmm. Or it's taking a lot more willpower than you feel like it should. A lot of people blame themselves for not being able to get results and not being able to diet the right way and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But when your hormones are off, everything seems harder. So eating right is harder. Getting to the gym is harder. Everything's harder, and everybody blames themselves for, you know, just being a wimp and not having enough willpower. Hey, let's target the right problem, fix that problem, and then it becomes easy.
That's great. I want to get into more of that when we come back. But great info today on the Cerebral Edge. I'm Coach Chris. My guest today is Dr. Grove Higgins from NeuroAthlete. Let's take a minute to pay some bills. We'll be right back. This is Power Talk 1040 KPPF. We are back with a Cerebral Edge on Power Talk 1040 KPPF, talking to my good friend, Dr. Grove Higgins from NeuroAthlete, and we're going over myths of performance, fitness, and pain. And right before we left off, Grove was talking about how it could be your hormones. It could be your hormone panel that's off is why you're not gaining the results or getting the gains you want to get, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are some ways people could test to see if their hormones are off or some things that they could, you know, essentially have to take home and go, you know what, maybe I better check this out or that out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the first thing you look for is, are you recovering from your workout? You know, there's some signs and symptoms that things aren't working right, that you're always hurting a little bit. Your energy levels are low, even though you get enough rest and you're doing all the right stuff, right? You're not getting results from your exercise and mm-hmm. such like that. Motivation and behavior, too. If you're starting to find that you're, you know, more cranky, you're just not motivated to play with your kids, you know, stuff like that. There's clear signs that the hormones are off, and it mm-hmm. might mean that you need to, you know, change something in your life stress wise and whatnot. But that's affecting your hormones too. There's a lot of things that affect your hormones, and such. But then you can go to that next stage of saying, okay, I really want to fix this, and I want to be precise. I want to figure out what's wrong so that way I can fix this. And you can go to your doctor and you can have them test, and it's becoming more and more common anymore. Get your testosterone and other hormones tested. Get a full metabolic panel, which mm-hmm. is things like thyroid and thyroid stimulating hormone and such like that. Because if your hormones are off, nothing works right. You know, mm-hmm. you put good food in your body and it doesn't respond to it. You put good exercise in your body and good rest and all these good things, and nothing really works well. So if you're getting to this point where you're just like, am I just getting old? No, your hormones are probably off, right? Mm-hmm. I had a young lady come in just 31 a couple days ago, and, you know, she's having focus issues and brain fog and anxiety and blah, 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 all these things. And she did get a diagnosis of some ADD, ADHD type stuff and things like that. But, you know, we're sitting down, we're talking about it. Mm-hmm. Start talking to her about all of the things I just mentioned and how is her gut feeling and such like that. And I'm like, you know, let's get your hormones checked, you know, because yeah. you can put the right drug into the body, you know, for the ADHD or for anxiety yeah. and depression and whatnot, and it still doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Hormones aren't working. It's like putting, you know, having the soup that isn't made right. It's not going to taste good, and you're going to throw it away. And that's what your body is. You know, it's a collection of really complex systems and such like mm-hmm. that don't need to be complex. once you know what's wrong mm-hmm. and you fix those problems. And then everything starts getting easier and you want to play with your kids. You want to go to the gym. I can't tell you how many firefighters I've worked with over the years mm-hmm. where they're just like, you know, my job is physical job, but I hate going to the gym. It just takes so much energy. I don't have nothing to, and then I hurt afterwards and yep. such. And we start getting these things fixed and all of a sudden they find themselves in the gym. They didn't even think about it.
No.
They just have all this energy and they want to be in the gym. And then I have the wife that calls me up or sends me and says, I haven't told my husband this, but I think you saved my marriage. And my husband now is understanding. He's kinder and, mm-hmm. and calmer and things like that. So it can affect so many parts of you. And so don't start blaming yourself. But as soon as you start hearing other people saying, boy, you're a mean son of a gun or you're yeah. ornery or you know, why are you so depressed and stuff like that. Okay, think the hormones first mm-hmm. and go get some tests, ask your doctor. And if they won't help you, go someplace that will.
Yeah. So what are some of the primary hormones that you find are off more often than not?
Well, we're finding a lot of people, and this is men and women, testosterone's off mm-hmm. on a lot of them. But, you know, that's usually a hormone that's off. Mm-hmm. Thyroid is really a big one. But, and we'll talk more about this in future episode, most people are having problems with insulin management. Mm-hmm. They're getting too many carbohydrates, too much food in, and they've become insulin resistant, so mm-hmm. nothing works right,
mm-hmm.
right? And everything's uphill and such. And then you can go and you can get testosterone supplement put in, you know, bioidentical hormone put in that should be helpful, and it helps initially, and then all of a sudden it kind of fizzles and such yeah. like that. Those are good signs that your insulin's off, your metabolism's off, and there's mm-hmm. a bigger problem that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, there oftentimes seem to be, you know, symptoms that people treat instead of the root cause, right? People
yeah, are, exactly. Yeah, the proximal symptom versus the ultimate cause. If you're mm-hmm. going after the cause, you're going to fix the symptom. But mm-hmm. unfortunately, medicine tends to, and people tend to go after the thing that's most obvious.
Yeah.
So I have low energy, so I'm going to put caffeine in. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. What next?
Now what?
Right? We haven't fixed the problem. You don't have a caffeine deficit. There's no such thing, right?
Yeah, people say right? adrenal burnout, and it's like you have enough adrenaline in your body to fuel you for 300 years.
Oh, amen.
And people
amen.
Understand
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah. And testosterone's the same thing. I mean, if your testosterone's fallen off, there's got to be a cause. And so just putting testosterone in doesn't fix the cause. Mm-hmm. It supplements a deficiency, great, but what next?
Right. What next? So then it's the same thing with people when I hear back pain, right? So here's another one that I've got, right, is one of the myths is that core exercise is all you need to keep from having back pain.
Right, right, right. And the back is one of those areas that it has referrals from your gut and the viscera, all the organs in your soft mm-hmm. spots in your chest and abdomen can refer to the low back. Yeah, there's a lot of mechanical things that can go wrong mm-hmm. in the back and sprains and strains and all that. But emotionally, guess what? Because all human beings will have back pain, we're good at back pain.
Yeah.
So then when you're stressed, guess where your brain tries to get your attention sometimes?
In your back.
In your back. Right. Right. So, yeah, getting a strong core is super helpful, mm-hmm. But you have to be able to move well first, and then getting you strong, breathing well, and then addressing all these other issues that we've talked about. Because, yeah, you might need to have somebody look at your gut and say, what's going on there, man?
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
I can't tell you how many people that have bad guts and they just chalk it up to, I'm just getting older and I can't eat that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And no, there's a problem there. And if you're having back pain and you have gut issues like that, tummy ache after you eat bread, or right. you can't eat, you know, greasy food anymore, things like that, your gut's wrong, and it might be causing your back pain too.
And again, that's what kind of gets me so angry is that people look at just symptoms and they don't sit there and look for the root cause.
Yeah, but I mean, you being a lay person across the table from me here, how would you know? Right?
Right?
How would you know? You trust your doctor, trust the health professionals that you go to know. Mm-hmm. But they get caught up in it too, unfortunately.
Right.
And because they are pressed for time and they have a volume of patients that they need to see mm-hmm. every day, unfortunately, the human element pops in and you go to the lowest common denominator cause and you throw a dart at it, hoping that you're going to hit it.
Right.
And if you do, great, we fixed it.
Right.
But you don't go any farther.
Don't go any further than that.
Right, right. Right. So you just take Prilosec and your stomach gets better, and guess what? Your back pain goes away too. Wow, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Or it's like, well, maybe it could be from dysfunction of other musculature, right? Like, say, glutes, right?
Right.
So glutes is like probably 90% of the people that I have with back pain have a glute deficit.
Right.
And all of a sudden you fix that, and then they're a lot better, and they can reflexively stabilize. But, you know, you go to, you know, your doc and they're like, here's a pill.
Right.
Right. They're like, how come they don't know how to fix this problem? It's like, well, they're really good at medicine, but they're not really good at human movement.
Right. Right. And there's too many things to look at all at one time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, man, this has been great. Thanks for coming on, Doc. How do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can go to neuroathletechiro.com or they can call us up at 719-225-4949. We do free consults for people if they're curious as to whether or not we can help them. We can do those online and virtually, or we love doing them in person because a lot of times being right there, being able to see it and see how you move tells us just a ton and whatnot. But reach out to us one way or the other, even if you just have questions, we'll entertain them and we'll see if we can put you on the right track.
Oh, absolutely. Doc is amazing at what he does. He's helped me several times for sure when I can't figure out what's going on with me. And as always, if you want to get a hold of me, you go to CerebralEdgePerformance.com. If you have questions for the show, just type in CerebralEdge, @gmail.com. That's the email. Email me with any questions that you might have. This has been the Cerebral Edge on Power Talk 1040. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that what you heard today will help make you at least 1% better, because 1% better every day adds up. Join me next weekend right here on Power Talk 1040. I'm back here again with Dr. Grove Higgins for part two. I'm Coach Chris. Until then, stay strong.
This has been the Cerebral Edge on KPPF. Have a question for Coach Chris? Email him at CerebralEdge1@gmail.com. That's CerebralEdge, @gmail.com. Join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. and Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another episode of the Cerebral Edge with Coach Chris on Power Talk 1040 KPPF.